singing this morning about the love of God and how we can trust him with everything. It doesn't matter what we're going through in our life. We can trust Jesus. He's the only one who can, right? He's the only one who can. The song I'm going to sing talks about that, about what Jesus has meant in my life. Okay. He cared that much for me. When I think of Jesus' love and how he came from heaven above, I'm ashamed because I know that I have failed my faith to show. I know he loved me. This he proved at
Thank you so much, Anita. You know, on Wednesday nights here at the church, we have a prayer meeting and prayer time. You see those slips of paper in your bulletin all the time and cards on the back table. just want to take a minute this morning to tell you something, that revival in a church will never come if people don't pray. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think I'm always right. Right, Walena? I'm always right. Most husbands are. But I think in history you'll find out that revivals never started because of pastors and preachers. They started because of lay people praying. The Great Hebrides Revival out of Scotland started because two elderly sisters in their 80s began to pray. Haystack started because a New York City layman decided to pray. The revival in Albany, New York started because not of Pastor Sullivan, but because a guy came knocking on my door one Sunday morning. And he said, "Pastor, is there a room that we could have to pray in?" And I'm saying, "You're here to pray?" And they started to pray. And then a little while later, that same knock came on my door again and said, "Pastor, is there a bigger room that we could have to pray?" And I'm saying, "What's going on here? I got to go see." And I joined them. And Walena joined them. And in April of 97, when I sat right there in my chair on the platform, Rick and Lisa Bauer were leading songs, strumming a guitar. And I said to God, sitting right here, "God, please don't let Rick and Lisa stop praying. Because if they stop singing, because if they stop singing, I got to go pray. And I don't feel like praying this morning." They stopped. And I walked about 6 feet to my pulpit. And God came down and I landed on the floor. And revival broke out in Albany. Never again was Albany ever the same. I'm asking you, Pentecostals who are supposed to be men and women who love to pray more than anybody else, why don't you come join us on Wednesday night? Knock on my door and say, "Pastor, is there a room I can have?" I'm just saying that to you. If you want God to do something in this place and in your family, and in your own personal life, nobody leads. We just come in and we pray and we leave in an hour, trusting that God can do what he did in Albany, New York, he can do here in Caribou, Maine. You want to see young people's lives change? Come and pray. My young people used to sit there and they took up maybe three or four rows. And most pastors are embarrassed sometimes when visitors come and something odd happens, like there's a message in tongues, an interpretation, and the pastor look around and say, "Oh God, it better be real." Those young people, all of them, 15 or 20 of them, started jumping up and down like this in unison. And I'm saying, "God, what's going on? What is that?" And I'm looking around for visitors. He loses a dollar. She loses a dollar. And it got to the point where they all did this. And when they didn't do this, I'm saying to God, "What's wrong? Our young people are not moving." But out of that group, about 12 of them went to Bible college and full-time ministry. You want God to move? Come pray with us. Come pray with us. And I say all that, then I'm quiet. Penny's going to come and minister to us. Come up here, Penny. I just brag on this lady all the time. I found out the other day her car is a 2004. Mm-hmm. It's got over 200,000 miles on it. Yep. She's here on Wednesday night. She travels about 26 miles one way to get here on Wednesday nights, rain or snow. And she does it every Sunday morning, and I don't know where she goes on Sunday afternoon. But I'm not asking you to buy her a new car.
No, this car I'm praying is going to last me till the rapture. So.
Oh, you think the rapture is going to take place early? I'm glad I'm post-trib. We're glad to have you here, Penny. We just love this lady.
Thank you, Brother Ray. I really would like for all the kids to stay through the whole service. I searched the internet, and I could not find when it was that the churches started separating the children from the adults. I've heard many stories from before my time when everybody was together for the service. And I know when I was going to church as a kid, my parents weren't saved, so I would go to Sunday school, and then until they thought I was old enough because I didn't have a parent with me, then I would start staying to church. But they didn't separate us. So I would like today for all the kids, I'm going to pray for the Lord to help the adults to endure and just let the kids be kids. Back in April of 2022, I shared a sermon about miracles children would have witnessed in the Old and New Testament. So today I want to share about bringing the children to Jesus, childlike worship, and not destroying their energy. Lord, help me today to say what you want me to, and nothing more, and help us to learn what it is you want us to learn today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, some people remember better when they see something. So I've asked some people to help me today to take care of the visual part as I speak. So let's have our volunteers come up. Matt is going to be Jesus, and then I asked a few of the guys to be disciples. And then anyone with children, you will play the part of parents with children, okay? I'm going to be speaking from Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. And this is when the parents were bringing their children to see Jesus for him to bless them. And the disciples thought they were being a bother and they would not let them through, okay? So Matt, if you want to have a seat there, and then the disciples will kind of be around you, and then if I can have the adults go ahead and bring the kids up and try to get to Jesus, and you just stand there, and as I read, you follow along as I'm reading this scripture. This is the New Living Translation. Mark 10, 13 through 16. And it's also found in two other places in the Bible, and I'll read all three. If the Holy Spirit thought it was important enough to be in there three times, I'm going to read it three times. Repetition sometimes people find boring, but it's helpful to others. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry. He said to them, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Then he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their heads and blessed them. And then in Matthew 19, 13 through 15, one day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could lay his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. But Jesus said, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children." And he placed his hands on their heads and blessed them before he left. And then again in Luke 18, 15 through 17, one day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But when the disciples saw this, they scolded the parents for bothering him. Then Jesus called for the children and said to the disciples, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Now we find from the book of Genesis 48, 13 through 20, that it was customary among the Jews to bring their children to great men to have them blessed. Joseph brought his sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, to his father Jacob for this very reasons. Now, these parents weren't doing anything out of the ordinary. I don't know if they believed that Jesus was God the Son, but they at least believed he was a great man. So Christian parents, grandparents, siblings, aunts, uncles who believe Jesus is God the Son will bring children to Jesus. This is done through Bible teaching. They might bring them to Sunday school, children's church, or other meetings where they can learn more about Jesus. What about kids who don't have Christian parents? That's where other relatives and friends are important. My parents didn't become Christians until I was a teenager. But there were neighborhood people and friends who either invited or took the 8 ride-out kids to Sunday school and church. Praise God for parents who let their kids go to church. It used to be a common thing that even if the parent didn't go, they at least sent their kids. And now you don't find that quite so much. And that's sad. We have to pray that we get the kids into church. So let's turn back to our visual. So we're watching. Parents are bringing their children to Jesus. And this is a great thing. But for some reason, the disciples just aren't happy about it at all, and they're trying to stop the parents. Now, why would they do that? Well, at that time, the disciples were still expecting Jesus to set up his kingdom here on earth right then. They didn't fully comprehend all that Jesus was telling them at the time. And that's why they were so sad when Jesus died on the cross, and so surprised when they saw him alive 3 days later, because they just didn't get it. And children really weren't important in those days. They could not help establish the kingdom, and these parents were distracting Jesus as far as the disciples were concerned. But when Jesus saw it, he wasn't happy at all. Mark says he was angry. And Jesus told the disciples to not stop the children. He explained that anyone who wants to enter the kingdom of God must receive it like a child. We adults have to have things explained to us. Children just believe. And this is important enough for Jesus to insert, "I tell you the truth," and repeat what he said. You ever see a kid yell, "Catch me, Daddy," then jump, expecting the dad to catch them, even if dad wasn't even looking or expecting the jump? We as adults would not worry about all the things we do if we trusted God that way. So Jesus shows the disciples and parents and children just how important children are, and he takes them in his arms and he blesses them. Here in Mark, the word translated children is a general word for child. Luke uses a word that means little children. Some believe that these children were babies or toddlers. Others believe they were as old as Jairus' daughter, whom they believe was about 12. So the kids we have here pretty much represent the age range that would have been being brought to Jesus to be blessed. Now, before they all sit down, Jesus used a child as an example in this following verse. In these verses, Matthew 18, 1 through 4. About that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus called a little child to him and put the child among them. You want to grab one of the kids there, Matt? Yep, grab him. Put him right in the middle, yeah. If he will, if he'll cooperate. And he put the child among them, and he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Okay, you guys can go ahead and have a seat. Thank you for your help. Now, if you pay attention to the kids, one doesn't think they're any better than the other. See, the disciples wanted to know, oh, which one of us is, you know, greater than this one, who's going to get the better spot and everything. These kids, each Sunday when they come, they're excited to see the other children. We don't stop learning. Kids are eager to learn. And we don't stop learning once we become adults. Now, I know there's a time during teen years when we think we know everything. Okay? But as you get older, you understand that you really don't know as much as you think you do. All right? Now, in the following passages, the children are hearing the word and worshiping with the adults. Joshua 8, 34 to 35. This is after the battles of Jericho and Ai, and the Israelites had built an altar and offered sacrifice to God. Joshua then read to them all the blessings and curses Moses had written in the book of instruction. Every word of every command that Moses had ever given was read to the entire assembly of Israel, including the women and children and the foreigners who lived among them. Now you got to figure this was a lengthy process. He's reading every word of every command that Moses had ever given. Yet the children were there to hear it. We might think that, you know, the service is too long for the children to sit. You know, and maybe they weren't sitting. Maybe they were sitting on the ground. Maybe they were running around. Whatever they were doing, they were there to hear what was being said. 2 Chronicles 20, 13 to 15. In this passage, talking about Jehoshaphat, who's the king of Judah, the armies of Moab, Ammon, and others are coming to do battle against Judah. King Jehoshaphat declared a time of fasting and prayer, and now they are waiting to hear from God. So starting at verse 13, as all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite who was a descendant of Asaph. He said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Notice that everyone was gathered, even the little ones and children, to hear what God had to say. What a great word that they heard. Fear not, the battle is God's. And all the things we see happening in the world today, I hear different people, especially working at the store, people are concerned with what they see. We were told this was going to happen. God doesn't want us to be afraid. Okay? He gave us a heads up. These things are going to take place. So rather than worry about it, what we need to do is pray and make sure we tell as many people as possible about Jesus. Okay? So that less people have to be afraid. We know the battle is God's. Satan wins his little skirmishes and he thinks he's done great. But God wins the battle. We can trust him. No matter how bad things look, we can trust him. And you know what? What we see with our physical eyes isn't everything that's going on. The spiritual realm, if we could only see all of the things that are happening around us. Praise God that he is all-powerful. And he created us, and he loves us. And Jesus, the Son of God, willingly came to this earth as a baby went to the cross, endured tremendous, tremendous pain through the beating that he took from the guards, the whipping that he took. I've told the kids, you know, it's pretty graphic, but some say that those things would rip the skin off so much that sometimes you could almost see the backbone. Think about what he went through. And he got nailed to that cross. He could have came down. He could have said stop at any time, but he didn't. Okay? He loved us that much, and he still loves us. He still loves us. And we need to show our love back to him. That's why I have the kids here. When you watch them worship, they don't care who's watching. They're having a great time. We need to be the same. Worship God in a great way, no matter who's watching. Don't worry about who's watching. Look, even once they hit up to age 8 to 10, they start worrying about who's watching. When we first started coming over, some of them didn't want to come up front because they didn't want everybody looking at them. I grew up all my younger years in the United Baptist Church in Mars Hill before I started going to the Pentecostal church. It was a huge adjustment for me. When you, like now, I say amen or I raise my hand, that took time. It took time to learn. It takes time for the kids to learn. But they can learn that as they're in with the adults and they see the adults doing that. And you know what? Maybe not all the adults here grew up Pentecostal. So you're not used to it either. But you can learn. You can learn. Might be hard the first few times. You worry, oh, who's looking? Don't worry about it. After you do it for a while, it will become just natural. You're doing it out of love for God. Not for the people around you, but just because you love God so much. In Nehemiah 12:43, the wall of Jerusalem had been rebuilt and was being dedicated to God. Many sacrifices were offered on that joyous day, for God had given the people cause for great joy. The women and children also participated in the celebration, and the joy of the people of Jerusalem could be heard far away. So the children are included in giving praise to God. Can you imagine? That praise was so loud they heard it far, far away. If we were praising the Lord so loudly that people on another street might say, "What is all that commotion?" That's what we should be doing, right? Don't hold back. God doesn't hold back from us, but for some reason, we get intimidated maybe, and we hold back a little bit on our love and our praise. He deserves all the praise. Do your best not to hold back. And sometimes when we're over there with the kids and we would be doing worship, you know, and I'd say, all right, you know, stop, or the youngest ones especially, maybe Kyver, Jacoby, or whatever, and they'd start running. No running, and you know, you kids, you're not doing that the way we want you to do it. And sometimes I worry, how am I looking at these children? Am I looking at them the way David's wife looked at him? Or am I looking at them the way God looked at David? In 2 Samuel 6:16, "But as the ark of the Lord entered the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked down from her window. When she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she was filled with contempt for him." Isn't that sad? He is so happy, and he's praising God with all of his might. But his wife was embarrassed.
that he was doing that. We should never be embarrassed because someone loves God so much and they're praising God so much. Think of the crippled man who was leaping and praising God. He was so excited he couldn't contain it. Surely God has done something for you in your lifetime that makes you excited. Even just, saving your soul should get you excited. Okay? And I don't know why we hold back. By telling these young ones, quiet down, don't get so rowdy. Are we creating adults who you'll never see walk across the front of the church praising God? Maybe never begin a Jericho march around the church? Never just take off running because they're so excited? Or maybe they'll just be really quiet during the sermon. I listen to the podcast Sunday afternoons as I'm heading home, and I can hear pastor saying, "Can I get an amen or an ouch?" So I'm guessing maybe the church is being quiet. And that's hard. It shouldn't be hard for those of you that grew up in the Pentecostal church. It should come naturally to you. You hear something you agree with, amen. Praise the Lord. Like I said, it took time for me to be able to do that and not worry about what others around me were thinking. So be encouraged that it can be done. Whether you grew up in that atmosphere or not, it can be done. Now, the most important thing for the children to hear is the word, and rest assured they do hear the word every Sunday. Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. Now, by coming over here and joining the adults in worship, what are they going to learn? What are the adults going to learn? We all need to know that it's okay to praise God with all of our might. And it's not only okay, it's wonderful. God inhabits the praises of his people. You know what? We ask God, we say, for his presence. We forget often, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's with us wherever we are. You're never alone. God is always with you. He loves us so much that even though we do some things he does not care for sometimes, he dwells in us. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he loves us. Some people, they can't stand something, they don't want to look at it, they won't have anything to do with it, they might just push that whole person aside. Not God. Not God. His love can't be measured. He is amazing. Absolutely amazing. Now, earlier I mentioned walking across the front of the church, praising God, a Jericho march, around the church, and taking off running around the church. Now, as I was preparing this sermon and listing these activities, the Lord whispered that I should demonstrate them. And I said, well, Lord, years ago I did, lead some Jericho marches back in Mars Hill. But I've never walked across the front of the church praising your name, and I've never run around the church. God said, well, you could. I said, well, I could. I'll demonstrate. I'll do that. I'll walk across the front of the church and pray and show, that I've seen people do that, and that's okay to do. And I'll start a Jericho march, and I'll have the children, praise God, other people can join, adults or children, as I demonstrate these things. But I said, running I don't think so. He said, well, I want you to run. I said, I don't know. He said, run. I said, all right. But I thought about it this morning. I said, well, you know, Lord, I've only seen guys run around the church. Still trying to, you know, get out of it. But then God reminded me about an incident in 2007. I suffered from deep depression from 2001 to 2007. It wasn't just sadness or a bad day, but it was deep depression. It's like a heavy weight, like a boulder that I carried around daily. And it took all my strength to put one foot in front of the other. Then God healed me. That weight was gone, just like that. I felt like I was floating on air. Can you imagine being weighted down for all that time, and all of a sudden it's gone, and I felt like I could float. And I was giving my testimony, and Jill Cummings grabbed my hand, and she started running. And I'd forgotten about that. So God said, that time I had a woman help you run. Today, I want you to run on your own. So even though part of me is still hesitant about the running, I don't want to go home feeling disappointed that I didn't do what God told me to. So folks, this isn't entertainment. Pastor's preaching a series right now entitled Entertainers or Oracles. I don't want to be an entertainer. I want to share God's word and have it make a difference in people's lives. I don't want to be so concerned with decorum that I refuse to let the Holy Spirit nudge me out of my comfort zone. So I'm going to demonstrate those three things, and then I'm going to come back and finish. Anyone who wants to join me in this demonstration is welcome too. I would especially like to have the kids join so they can see and be part of different ways that we show our praise and our worship to God. I've seen people during the worship service, generally is when I see this happen, and they just come up to the front of the church, and they just praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. And they just thank him for all the things that he's done for them. Because hasn't he done a lot for us? If we started to list them, I think it would be hard to remember everything that he's done for us. Just like I remembered I had been healed, but I had forgotten that Jill had grabbed my hand and taken off running. Sometimes we forget those things. I think it'd be good for us to write a list sometimes. Praise the Lord for all the things that he's done for us. And then I'm going to have Anita and Wendy come on up. I asked them if they would help out. I'm going to have, for the Jericho March, I got to blow my nose, sorry. I'm going to have them play. I'm going to walk all around that city. All right, kids, you didn't join me when I was walking across the front of the church. I want you to join me now. We're going to do a Jericho march around this church. All right? And if any adults want to join, you can join too. I can remember back in Mars Hill, there were times I would take off marching around the church, and I might be the only one. That was hard. Other times, a few people would join me, and then sometimes it was the whole church that would join me marching around. Praise God. Go ahead and sing, ladies. God. Praise God. And why are we marching? For God, right?
Amen.
It's not just to get up and walk around and stretch our legs, but it's because, right, when they walked around Jericho, the walls came down.
Amen. Yes.
You got some walls you need to fall? Do some marching.
Yes.
Whatever it might be. I can remember Margie Keller telling about one time she'd locked her keys in her car. She tried every door in that car and it wouldn't open. And she finally did that. She walked around her car 7 times. And when she went to open that door, it opened.
Yes. Yes.
God is able, guys. That's right. Nothing is impossible with God. Now, this next one is the run. I'll tell you, thinking back to when I was healed, I was excited enough. I could have taken off, and I don't know why I didn't. I wasn't used to it, you know? We need to get used to those things. It doesn't have to be every week. But when you feel excited about something God has done for you, don't hold back. Let him know. Don't worry about everybody else. Somebody else might join you. Okay? Don't hold the kids back. If they want to run, let them run. Okay, ladies, I'm going to have them play. He touched my body and he touched my mind.
Look what the Lord has done. Sing. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me and it was just in time. I'm gonna praise his name. Each day he does the same. Come on and praise him. Look what the Lord has done.
Praise God.
Yes. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Penny.
Amen.
Can I just say something?
Yes.
I have seen times when revival has broken out in a church because of the children. And seeing these kids this morning, it's just like, Lord, let it happen. Let it happen.
Amen. 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 What we can do for each other as different age groups is amazing, what God could do for us as we work together and worship together.
Yes.
My prayer is that from today's message, we're encouraged as adults to be thankful the children are here and part of worship.
Amen.
Let them worship. Don't hold back on your worship.
Amen.
Yes. Join the kids when their worship is a little rowdier than maybe what you're used to. Get a little more rowdy in your worship.
Yeah.
This is a great opportunity to worship God together and learn from each other. I have one more scripture to share. Matthew 21, 14 through 16. The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. The leading priests and teachers of religious law saw these wonderful miracles and heard even the children in the temple shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David." But the leaders were indignant. They asked Jesus, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" "Yes," Jesus replied. "Haven't you ever read the scriptures? For they say you have taught children and infants to give you praise." Amen. Thank God for the children.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Thank God for him. Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the desire and the ability to praise you. Mm-hmm. Help us to put into practice what we've heard today, that we will be doers of the word and not hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, folks.